Medrash, beginning of Parashat Shmot, comes the pasuk. Chosech shifto sonei b'no, ra'avo shocharo musah. Someone who hates his son will not ever punish him. Someone who loves him will rebuke him. Someone doesn't have some strict rules and enforcement with his son, his son's going to go off the bad way. The Medrash quotes four famous sons who went off the way because their father was very, very lenient. He was too good. Never rebuked them. One was Ishmael, Esav, Avshalom, and Adonijo. Avram never rebuked Ishmael, and Yitzhak never rebuked Esav, and David never rebuked his two sons, Avshalom and Adonijo, and they went off into the wrong road. I always tell the famous story with one of my children. I don't know if I said it over here, but I usually say it in my shir. And one of my children, the girl, she was a tzedekus. She never did anything wrong. She always listened, always did, volunteered, never got into a fight, never was jealous. I said, when am I ever going to punish her for anything? It says, if you don't punish a child, you know how much you hate them. She has to do something. I don't know what to do. One day she came back from school and she says to me, Abba, I heard this word in school. Could you explain what it means? It was a off-color word. So I said, what? Such a word you said? Come with me. I took her right away to the sink, and there was some soap. It made soap water. I said, here, take, put some soap in your mouth. You have such a word, you have to wash out your mouth. Oh, so she started to cry. I said, thank God, I finally punished her for something. She didn't know what she was doing, what she said. So, after, the Bible sure had this problem. But, sometimes you have a child who needs it. Shmuel. Who are we to criticize Avram Avinu? But the Medrash says, I made a mistake. He never said anything against Ishmael. Esau. Yitzhak never said anything. Like it went off the wrong way. So a good father, someone who really loves a son, will punish him. Since the Kadosh Baruch Hu loves the Jewish people, as a father loves a son. So that's why he punishes the Jewish people. It's a sign of God's love. We sometimes misunderstand it. We think it means Chas v'Shalom of God. Doesn't like the Jewish people. He's angry at the Jewish people. God forbid. He abandoned the Jewish people. Other religions claim, Christians, Muslims claim, God abandoned the Jewish people. He doesn't like them anymore. He hates them. It's not true. The fact that God punishes Jewish people is because he loves the Jewish people. Because if a father loves a son, he will punish the son for doing bad things in order to get him on the right road. So, it's a sign of God's love for the Jewish people that he punishes us. So the Medrash says, that's why there are three wonderful gifts, Matanas Teves, that the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave the Jewish people. These are Eretz Yisrael, Torah, and Olam Haba. These three great gifts were given only through suffering, only through very grave difficulties. Same thing. You want to give your child, I don't know, $50,000, $100,000. Just give him $100,000 for nothing. It's very, very big danger. You might misuse it. Make him go through a lot of struggle to show that he deserves the $100,000, and then you give it to him, then hopefully is it the right way. So God gives Am Yisrael three fantastic gifts: Eretz Yisrael, Torah, Olam Haba. Doesn't just sign a check and give it to us. Says deserve it. Let's see if you deserve it. It's not so, it's not easy. It's difficult. It's difficult to get Eretz Yisrael. It's difficult to conquer and to study the Torah. It's difficult to get to Olam Haba. It's very difficult. And when you get it, you deserve it. It's because God loves us. So really the thing Shemesh works, this is the Medrash. So this is at the beginning of the Pasha of Shemos, because Medrash is trying to give us an inkling what's going on. Jewish people, all of a sudden, the children of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are all of a sudden slaves, suffering so much. It's a terrible thing. He explains the way God shows his love for the Jewish people to get them ready for the three amazing gifts of Eretz Yisrael, Torah, and Olam Haba. See, they deserve it. They go through a difficult situation. So he says, what are these three gifts? So we say these are the three great gifts of Hashem to Am Yisrael: Eretz Yisrael, Torah, and Olam Haba. They have to pay a very heavy price. They have to pay a heavy price. So really it's because, as we will say many times, that a person has three levels of the soul. There's a nefesh, and a ruach, and a neshama. Each of these gifts is for one of these levels. Now, the nefesh, which is the lowest level, is basically the instinctual level. In general, people have basic instincts, the instinct to want to live, the instinct to eat, drink, instinctual things. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to have any philosophy. It's just, this is fundamental being alive. So basically the nefesh has to do what's called in Chassidus the ratzon. It's a ratzon. It's nothing to do, it's beyond sech. There's no philosophy. There's no ideology. I don't have to have any philosophy why I want to eat food. I don't have any philosophy why I want to have air to breathe. It's nothing to do with anything sech. It's an instinct. It's a ratzon. Eretz Yisrael, it's an idea. Eretz has in the word Eretz, you have the Aleph and then the Reish Tzadik. The Reish Tzadik of Eretz is the Lashon of Ratzon. There's an instinct. What's the instinct of Eretz Yisrael? The instinct of Eretz Yisrael is to do with Tzayin Avinu Shebashamayim. To do a Kadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon. When you're in Eretz Yisrael, you have an instinct. It's not that you see the mushal, sometimes you see the mushal, thousands, hundreds of thousands maybe, but many thousands of Jews who are not philosophically, ideologically observant Torah Jews, but they come to Eretz Yisrael, they come to the Kaisel, they have a spiritual experience. They feel, I feel close to God. I feel Jewish. Can he explain it? No. This is nothing to do with Seichel. This is nothing to do with his das. It's a ratzon. It's an instinct. What without this instinct? What without the instinct? It's the Eretz. Yerushalayim. It's in the air. It reminds me, I was once standing by the Kaisel, right by the plaza. So they had the tourist groups. So the tourist was talking to the tour guide. So they weren't religious. I don't think the tourists weren't too Jewish, they were Goyim. and the tour guide was not religious. So he tells the tourist, he says, the Jews fade to the stones. They fade to the stones. I think the stones are special stones that they fade to them. When he tries to explain it, it comes out so queer, you know, complete, doesn't understand it. Thinks he's praying to the stones. This is when the Prime Minister of Israel, the present Defense Minister, Barak, was sitting with Billy Clinton, at the White House. So they both don't understand. So Billy Clinton said to him, I see there's a mosque on top of the ground. You people said that there used to be a Jewish temple, but it's below the ground. So I think what we should do is we'll give the mosque on top of the ground, make a peace. Give the mosque on top of the ground to the Islamic faith, and the Jewish temple, which is below the ground, that'll be for the Jews. What do you think? So the Barak, that doesn't know anything, says, that makes sense. He said, I agree. Sign the piece of paper.
If we had that much control over the temple underneath, it would be nice. We're destroying it every day.
All right, that's because the Abs and the Gree is too much. We gave it, the Prime Minister gave it away on top of the ground, but the Abs and the Gree gave it away what's below the ground. So the thing is, but the same person has no concept at all what's happening over there. No das, basically, believe das klal, no das. Das, I mean, a religious understanding of what's going on. But the same person will come to the kosel and he'll cry. And he'll be moved and he feel that it's close to Hashem. And you ask him what's happening, he put words, he'll say foolishness. He'll say that they pray to the stones. He'll say, there's something below the ground. You can't express it in words. There's no seichel. There's no das. It's all ratzon. It's all instinct. Because that's the bechin of Eretz Yisrael. Eretz is lashon ratzon. There's a ratzon. A ratzon to be close to Hashem. Unfortunately, in Chutz La'aretz, it's also called an Eretz. Eretz Amamim, the Eretz of the Nan, Jews, the rest of the world. And the Gemara says, Eretz Amamim is Mutame, is a Tumah. Not only the Gush, not only the ground, but even the Avir, even the air. It means when we're, God forbid, in Chutz La'aretz, we're in an environment which the instinct, just an instinctual thing, to go for tumor, to go for bad things. There's no ideology. You can't explain. Why is it? You can't explain it. It's a rut zone. There's a rut zone for tumor. And outside of Eretz Yisrael. So yeah. Eretz Yisrael is a rut zone. It's a desire. It's an instinct. Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is a ratzon, is an instinct for kedusha, and Eretz Amamim, Eretz Lashon Ratzon. The Eretz of Amamim, the Eretz outside Eretz Yisrael is a ratzon for tuma. But Chazal say that the gush of Eretz Amamim and the avi of Eretz Amamim is metamet. It's in the air. Nothing to do with ideology. Nothing to do with philosophy. It's just an instinct. It's an instinct. So Mamela, the Kodesh Baruch Hu gives us Eretz Yisrael, that's for the lower level, that's for the nefesh. That's for something for our instincts. Because the nefesh, a Yehudi, a Jewish nefesh, has an instinct, has a ratzon for Kodesh Baruch Hu. No thinking. You ask him to put it into words, he'll say foolishness. Explain it. it'll come out very foolish. He'll say, oh, the stones, we're praying to the stones. He'll say foolish words. But, you know, he's crying. He's crying over there. He doesn't know why. He can't explain why. It's a rutzen. So Kodesh Baruch Hu gave one gift for the nefesh of Am Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael. Then, the next level of the personality is the ruach. The ruach. The ruach. Is an emotional. It's an emotion. It's the emotions. It's the spiritual feelings of man. Ruach ola lamala. It's going high. It's a high feeling. It's a high. Which someone saw that feeling high. The goyim, because the goyim. You have to understand. People don't understand Shlomo. So they say he's high. So the goyim, they say high. They mean drugs, because they attack into tumma. For them, it's tumma. So by them, it's a drug thing. But when Shlomo Kalibach says high, he means the ruach. And maybe we should sing that niggun later. The high. Shlomo says high. He means ruchnius, like the ruach, the wind. Winds. The higher you go, the more wind there is, the more ruach. The winds like high, like heights. So the higher you go, more wind, more ruach. Go to the top of the mountain, boy, can you really breathe in. There's a lot of air up there. You're in the valley, it's stifling, you can't breathe. The ruach means it's nas, it's going up. So there's a ruach of Am Yisrael, it's a spiritual heights. What's the gift for the Ruach of Am Yisrael? The gift for the Ruach of Am Yisrael, the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave, is Torah. Torah takes us high. It gives us a spiritual inspiration. Inspires our souls to go high. Higher, higher, higher. So this is the Koyach of Torah for the Ruach. And finally, the third great gift, which Gemara and Medrash says God gave Am Yisrael after Eretz Yisrael, the Torah, is Olam Haba. Olam Haba is the third great gift. And Olam Haba is a gift for the Neshama. The Neshama is, what's Pshat for the Neshama? He explains like this. He says that human being, a Jew, is a combination of guf and neshama. I mean, he's a combination of his body and his soul. So in this world, the soul exists within the body. So if my body is alive, so my soul is here. If I eat food and I drink and I'm well, so my neshama can function. So it turns out that in this world, the foundation of existence is the guf, and the neshama is like called symbiotic or parasitical. It's a derivative. It lives off the guf. The neshama gets its sustenance from the guf. However, and Olam Haba will also have a guf and neshama. When the Mashiach will come and there'll be a new world, there'll also be guf and neshama. The Rambam passes that will have bodies and have neshama. So what's going to change? There it'll be the opposite. The neshama will keep the guf alive. The neshama will get food, Torah and mitzvahs, and the guf will stay alive. Like Moshe Rabbeinu was alive for 40, 80, 120 days in Har Sinai. I didn't have any food, didn't have to have physical food or drink, because his neshama was getting its sustenance from its experience of Hashem. And that was giving the guf, the of Moshe Rabbeinu, its chiyus. Like Eliyahu HaNavi says, also in Tanakh, he went 40 days without any eating and drinking, because his neshama was giving chiyus to the guf. So Olam Haba, the neshama gives the chiyus to the guf. In olam hazeh, the guf gives the chiyus to the neshama. So olam haba is going to change the whole configuration of living. What does it mean to be alive? So olam haba is a gift for the neshama. Now, he wants to say that really these three gifts which the Gemara speaks about had to do with the three founders of the Jewish people. But Avraham and Yitzchak and Yaakov were three avos. Three avos, we got three matanos. Who are the three avos, and which matana is for which Av? Av Mavinu is the first. He obviously is the one who brought us the gift of Eretz Yisrael. Because the first thing Hashem tells him is, Lech Lecha El Oretz, he should go to the land. And he walks around the land. The mitzvah is to walk around the land. So, Avraham Avinu, you see the focus of everything with Avraham Avinu is Eretz Yisrael. So many visions, Uparatziyam of Akedma, Tzafon of Negba, it's all Eretz Yisrael. He's the Bechin of Eretz Yisrael because Avraham Avinu had a tremendous Ratzah, tremendous desire to find Hashem. Had an amazing, instinctual drive to find Hashem, which is Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is the instinctual drive to find Hashem. So that's why Avraham Avinu, because of the schus of Avraham, and all the Rali went through 10 tests, many difficulties, he was Zeichel for Eretz Yisrael, so he got Eretz Yisrael for his children. Right. Now, He says here very well. He says, David HaMelech says a pasuk, "La'asos v'tzoncha elokai chofatzti." Tehillim mem. To do your will, Hashem, I have a chafetz, I want. And then there's a Gemara in Masechta Shabbos, a famous Gemara. It's a very funny Gemara. That peivav, but it's a halacha. It says Yisrael the dog of a mitzvah chavul gufayim. The Gemara says that Jews physically are all, I don't know, agitated. They're physically agitated because of mitzvah, so therefore physically you find that Jews, the Gemara claims that Jewish people are hotter, have more heat in their body than non-Jews. What this means exactly physically, I don't know. But nowadays, something scientists know. There's certain kinds of genes. And anyway, the Gemara says that, and the Gemara says it's because of mitzvahs, because there's a daiga for mitzvahs. Jews have a daiga. They're all worked up, therefore they have more heat. In any event, but this is something which has nothing to do, this is a physical instinct in the Jew. It's nothing to do with an ideology or philosophy. It's just something he's born with. So the thing is, He says many Jews don't even realize what they have, these instincts. But it's there. Because the only way he can explain the amazing Baal Tshuva phenomenon which we see all the time, that fellows or girls have zero Torah education, and in a very short time they're very, very religious, they're very practicing and learning. And you can't explain such a change. It's because it's an instinct. It's the instincts are coming out. It's Eretz Yisrael. Ratzon. Lazarus Utsoncha. Alokai Chafatzti. Okay, so this is. Now, Torah obviously is the gift of Yaakov. Yaakov Ishtam Yoshev Aholim. He was a studious, he was the Masnid. He was Isaac the Torah. And Yitzchak is the gift of Olam Haba, because Yitzchak, he had nothing to do with Olam Hazeh. Once he became a Korban, he was a hermit, he lived a life of meditation, he was completely isolated, he was completely separate from this world. So that's the Bechina of Olam Haba. Now, Now, things like this, but what happened is Avram, he fixed, let's call it the nefesh of Am Yisrael. He established the nefesh of Am Yisrael. And then Yaakov Avinu established Ruach of Am Yisrael. And Yitzchak Avinu established the Neshama of Am Yisrael. But apparently they weren't able to pass it to the children. The 12 tribes, they weren't on the level of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. If they would, they could never have done a Mechivas Yosef. There was a, you read this Hadaris, there was a letdown, there was a drop. It's a tragedy. It happens many times. Our great parents, father and mother, don't, for one reason or other, pass on this level of greatness to their children. The Gemara makes a comment about it. The Gemara says that it's to teach you the Torah is not a Yerusha. People shouldn't think it belongs to families, the Salavechik, they have the exclusive Torah. If you're born a Salavechik, you, like someone told me, that the Shmuel Salavechik, the brother who was not so well known, the two ones that we knew were the Rav of Yosef Dov and the brother of Aaron, the Gedolim. So we had a third brother, Shmuel. Shmuel was a professor of chemistry in YU. So Shmuel said once, he said, to grow up in my father's house and not become a gadol, you had to be a big gadol. Not to become a gadol in Torah. You had to be a gadol. Not to become a gadol, you had to be such a genius not to become a gadol. You could, if you weren't a genius, you had to become a gadol. But to be a genius not to become, you had to be a real genius how to avoid becoming a gadol in my father's. There are certain families you see that have a special, but certain families have a schus that the taka goes from one generation to the next. But many, many times, no, because it's not a Yerusha. So the thing is, obviously, something from Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov to the 12 tribes, there was a very big Yerida. And then from the 12 tribes to their children was a bigger Yerida. So it's a problem in transmission. Exactly what exactly was wrong, he doesn't explain. But it's clear that there was a transmission problem. Since there was a transmission problem, so in a certain way, Hashem had to start all over again. In other words, he had to do things with the children and the grandchildren, the great-grandchildren of the Avos, that they should have again the nefesh, the ruach, the neshama of a yid, of Am Yisrael, but not stam, but a high level. Right? And also you have to understand that what's going on over here is that there's a problem of humanity, that Adam sinned and brought the three cardinal sins into the world. That brought the Zorah, Gilarais, and Shvichas Damim. In Adam, and Cain, and Hebel, first few generations, you got Avodah Zorah, Gilarais, and Shvichas Damim. So Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, they're basically the three sins, Avodah Zorah, Gilarais, Shvichas Damim. These three sins are kinder, covet, and taiva. Matzinis adam in the olam. Kinder, shvichas damim, and covet is avodah zarah, and taiva is gilarayis. These are the three midos, rows, which lead to the three cardinal sins, kinder, covet, taiva. Kinder, people jealous, shvichas damim. Covet thinks he's it, he doesn't know there's a God on top of him. So it's avodah zarah. And taiva is gilui arayis. Has a passion for physical pleasure. It's gilui arayis. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, they're the counterparts. They're on the good side. They're their Torah, Avoda, Gemilas Chasadim. Torah is Yaakov, Avoda is Yitzchak, Gemilas Chasadim is Avram. These are against Kinnon Kavod Torah. But this is only these three people. How do you get a nation to be like that? How do you get a nation? It's an amazing problem. It's an amazing problem. It's a tremendous problem. The transition from one generation to the next. How does it go to the next generation? Next generation usually is many more people. The nature of the world is that a man and a woman have more than two children. In America, it's a shigaon, two children and a dog. But normal people have many more than two. So it's not so easy to pass it on. More people. Very difficult problem, problem of transition. So how is this supposed to happen? This was the problem in Mitzrayim. This is like what I call it, the fundamental problem. The fundamental problem which Ribono Shel Olam was facing, and the Jewish people was facing, is the problem of Masorah. How do you pass it from one generation to the next? The first generation is amazing. Yaakov Avinu, Yitzchak, amazing. How does it go to the next? Even the 12 tribes were amazing. How does it go to their children? This is the problem. So Mimela, the answer was that the Gullus of Mitzrayim. The Gullus of Mitzrayim was going to be such a difficult situation for all the Jews as a nation that it would sear in fire and blood into them these three things: the nefesh, ruach, and neshama of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. They would go through such a situation. It says Kura Barza, it's a furnace. This furnace would embed it deep into the Jewish people. He says like this. He says, "How did this happen? I mean, what exactly happened?" So he says, "When look at the Pesukim of Psalm, Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Avraham Avinu, 'Gei yezo achabez lohem, va'avadum v'inu oisam abba meishana.'" So it says there are three gezeiros: Gei yezo achah, gezeiros, va'avadum, v'avadum, v'inu, and they will suffer. These three gzeiros of Gerus, Avdus, and Inui, this is for the three, this is for the Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama of Am Yisrael. So he explains it like this. Gerus, it's a very interesting thing. It says here that Gerus, being a stranger, being a stranger, he says, is a very, very, it's very disturbing to the neshama. Says that his Zayda, the Kotzker Rebbe, used to say that a person's neshama is rooted in a certain place. I mentioned to you, I think last week, that everybody has a certain spot in Eretz Yisrael. It's a Jew, it's a shurish of his neshama. The Hasidim go even further at that. The Hasidim, the Kotzker apparently said that even in Chutz La'aretz, you have your place. This is your place for your neshama. And what can I say? I'm not so happy to be so many years in Washington Heights, but okay. But I'm happy as well. A few places. So. He claimed, that's why you see that Rebbe's, this explains, this Katz Gavot explains Rebbe's are known by places. It doesn't make any sense. The Belza Rav, the Gera Rav, phrase Kotzke, now they have Bostoner, Clevelander, and then the pictures in the, today's Hamadiyah. Today's Hamadiyah was the Clevelander Rebbe, Clevelander. Some of all the big Rebbes in Eretz Yisrael, in Cleveland. Who were they? Nirvana. Doesn't make any sense. Why should Big Tzaddikim take the name of a Goyisha town? Bavav, Kotz, Ger, Sanz. You ever went to these places? I never went, but I'm sure you went to these places. You'd say, what's all this? Nothing. It's a Goyisha village. Rundown houses, shacks, cows, horses, you know, a bunch of non-Jews. So why is it Bavav, Sanz? Who cares about this? Rimnitz, who cares? I'm going to say Washington Heights Rebbe. I have a friend in Israel who makes jokes with me every time. He says, oh, the Washington Heights Rebbe is on the phone. He says, it's ridiculous. What Washington Heights Rebbe? Someone asked, we were talking in the house, so one of my grandchildren was there, so we were making introductions by a Shabbos table. So this boy says, my name is Chaim from Florida. And this one says, my name is Yaakov from Los Angeles. And then my son-in-law is sitting there, so he introduces his baby, my grandson. This is Yecheskel from Dominican Republic. He lives in Washington Heights. I'm in the public. It's a big yichus. It's a Dominican Republic Rebbe. The Rebbe from Dominican Republic. I mean, what's going on here? The big tzaddikim, big, being mesiaches, the yichus. He comes from Bavov. He comes from Sanz, Moskva Rebbe. What's ridiculous? Siberian Rebbe, Australian Rebbe, what's going on? So the Kuska says, because a neshama is rooted in a place. If a Kaddish Baruch Hu put you in this place, that means there's something in this place which resonates with your fundamental being. The Rabbi Wilson likes to say it many times also. There's a nitzitz. The Ari HaKadosh explained that when God created the world, so sparks of Kedusha fell all over. Now these sparks of Kedusha are really pieces of souls. So God gives a person a soul. His soul is not complete because the original souls which Hashem made, we don't exactly know what happened. It was like kind of some kind of an explosion at the beginning of God's creation. So souls got damaged. So pieces of souls got spread all over the world. So when a person wanders around the world, he picks up pieces of his soul. So that is, he's mashlem his soul. His neshama is neshlemes through the nitzotzos that you find. These are like his own things. Rabbi Wilson goes even much further. He says every little piece of food that a person eats has a nitzitz of the original neshama. Maybe that explains why Hasidim eat so much. They're trying to get all the mitzotzos. But anyway, the place you are has your nitzitz. That's for you. That's your place. That's what the Kuska says. So therefore, Bavav is not the Bavav Rebbe, because he got the nitzitz of his neshama from Bavav. And you can even go further. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu make the Goyim settle in a town called Bavav? Because there's a nitzitz of the Bavav Rebbe's neshama. Once the guy make the place, and the Rebbe comes and lives there, so he finds his nitzitz. So that's why. So Mele, no one knows Bavav. Anybody in the world knows where Bavav is? I don't even know where it exists anymore. But the Rebbe, it's his neshama. It's his neshama. The neshama has to do with the place. So Mele, the Gerus. The Jews are Gerim in Mitzrayim. So what does Am Yisrael learn? Am Yisrael learns how terrible it is not to be rooted in a place. How terrible it is to be a stranger, to be a wanderer. I don't fit. It's not my place. And the yid, and the shum of a yid has to fit into a place. Has to have a shorish. Being a ger is disconnected from his shorish. So mamela, this is masakein in the shum. I'd say a few things. There's so many nice things. The geirus of the Jew taught us how terrible it is to be a ger, but it also told us how important it is to be nice to a ger, how to help a ger. That's why there's so many mitzvahs in the Torah about the ahavtamas a ger. I think the Rambam runs his count 18 times, something like that. The Torah mentions the mitzvah to be nice to a ger and like saying to us a ger. Ki ger me'is and be'ez mitzvayim. It's the Shem. The next thing he says is the Avdus. So the second Gzeir was Avdus, to be a slave. So what's the Pshat to be a slave? The Pshat a slave is, we said before that the Nefesh of a Jew has an instinctual desire to be close to Hashem. He has a Ratzon. But for this instinct to be expressed, he has to be able to express it. He has to be free. A free person can follow his desires. You ask a guy in college, you're majoring in this, why are you doing it? I want to, I like it, I have a desire. So he has the freedom, because his parents are paying tuition, he can do it. But if he couldn't pay the tuition, the desire that means nothing, because he has no freedom of choice. A ratzon has to have a chavus for the ratzon to come out, otherwise it's nothing. So the Jews, they have a ratzon, but if they have them, they can't do anything with it. So it just becomes submerged and, you know, deep in the subconscious, but it can't come out. So the Avdus taught us how to appreciate chavus, which is the platform for Ratzon. To do what I want to do my heart's desires. And the third thing he says is the Inui. There is a Radim the Inui, some to make them suffer. Because we said that the Ruach, the Tukayach of a Ruach of a Jew, is to be inspired to go high up, to climb the mountain, to see the wide open spaces. But if he's inui, if he's suffering in pain, he can't look beyond his body. He's suffering, but he can't expand his mind to higher things. So I thought the Jews in Mitzrayim went through such a kor barzel, such a furnace where these fundamental expressions of their being were being frustrated, were being stamped out, were being subjugated. So when they got out, they really, really appreciated it. So it's not like a rich kid who's Yerush, he gets $100,000, father writes him a check, $100,000. Now he's 18, he gives him a $100,000 check. So what happens? The next day he goes to Las Vegas and he gambles it away. It doesn't mean anything to him. But if he would have to run 30 marathons and then he would faint 25 times and then get $100,000, he wouldn't blow it in Las Vegas. You know, it's not so easy. So if a person suffers for something and he gets the payoff at the end, then he appreciates it. So therefore, since the to be the children of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and to step into Eretz Yisrael and Torah and Olam Haba for nothing, because you happen to have great father, grandfather, great grandfather. They'll squander it. They'll throw it away. Like, unfortunately, we see with our own eyes that some Jews, they don't understand what does it mean to get Eretz Yisrael. They throw it away. It doesn't, they don't appreciate Torah, Olam Haba. No, I'll do something else. He didn't struggle for this. It was given to him in a silver platter. Some struggles, he doesn't throw it away. It's a great gift. So Kadosh Baruch Hu wants the Jew to suffer. To appreciate the gift.
How do we understand that these leaders did struggle? They were the people who were in war, they fought.
Their parents and grandparents.
No, these people don't give up.
No, because they're over battle. Because they're over 80. Sure. These people are over 80. So once they're over 80, you lose your mind. You can struggle and do a lot, but you're over 80, so... that's illness, mental illness. It's called, they call it senility, old age sickness. The old. So, Shalom Aleichem. Shalom Aleichem Tani. We all say Shalom Aleichem to newcomers. You also a newcomer. What's your name?
Yosef.
Shalom Aleichem Yosef. Who else came in late? What's your name?
Danny.
Shalom Aleichem Danny. Shalom Aleichem Eli. Okay, so the Klal Yisrael and the Tzrayim went through a Kor Barzel. Went through a furnace to get a Yiddish neshama and the Yiddish ruach and the Yiddish nefesh, because these things were taken away from them, their freedom of movement, freedom of expression, freedom of thought. It was all taken away. So suffered, and people with such great natural potential on all three levels, instinctual levels, and spiritual, emotional, and intellectual, all of this is frustrated. So therefore, when they finally, after so many hundreds of years, they get it, so appreciated, they got it. Very, 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 very difficult to work. Therefore, they will not throw it away. They will keep it, treasure it, and treasure it as a precious gift. Yes.
Elijah said they wanted to go back to Israel. Not
only Dasan Aviva. Zacharnos Hadagasher. Okay. The thing is. Don't forget. This is all of what we're saying here. It's there, but it's not there. In other words, when after 200 and some odd years, where you have no way of expressing your spirituality and your instincts and your freedom and your thoughts, so rather you want it very, very much, especially if you're Jewish. You need the, all of this is so important to your Jewish soul. But the Maisa and the Chitzonius, they were 200 and plus years in Egyptians. And they were doing Avodah Zarah, and they were doing Shvi'ah. Hashem Yirachim, Lashon Hara, Shvi'chas Damim. So about in 40 some odd days, they came to Hasinai, they got a Torah, so it's very fast. So we see sometimes about Shuva can make a flip. Almost overnight, he can go from being 49 levels of Tumah to 49th level of Tzaddik. But there's still a surface, there's still a whole history that he went through which is pulling him back. It's very, very, we have so much experience with Balei Tshuva, Geirim nowadays. When they make the change, it's amazing. But to maintain it and not to go back to the old habits, very hard. And I don't know what the statistics are, but they're not very, promising or satisfying. But they're not satisfying statistics. We would like to see 99% stick rate, but I'm afraid it's not a 99% stick rate at all. Not in not in Gevim, and not in Bali Tshuva. It's very frightening sometimes. Very frightening. I don't know. I don't know what to say, because it's such a frightening thing. Yes?
So it's not necessarily that Bnei Israel had to work for Olam Haba and the Torah and all these things, it's that they didn't have it before, and then it was given to them, so they appreciate the value of what they get.
Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov had. They had the Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama of Yid. They had everything. They had Eretz Yisrael from Avraham, and Olam Haba from Yitzchak, and Torah from Yaakov. But the transmission to the next generation was flawed. He has a whole piece, I don't have time to go through, but he has a whole piece how there had to be something, a small defect in Avraham and in Yitzchak and in Yaakov, which they themselves had, and maybe they weren't even aware of it, and this slight defect within their own level was like, that he calls it, what the Torah calls, Shoresh Pore Rosh Velano. Sometimes there's a very small root of a very bitter weed. You don't even see it. It's deep under the ground. You see a field, beautiful flowers, but deep under the ground there's a shoresh of a pore rosh velano, something which will make rosh velano. So you don't know, because it's deep under the ground. So you don't dig it out and get rid of it. Then you go achreis, you go to Honolulu. You know you have very nice flowers. So you come back from the month in Honolulu. You come back, your whole field is full of weeds. The flowers are dead. Because this little shoresh grew out all the rosh and lana and killed everything. So he says it had to be a little shoresh. He goes into it. I don't have time to go through it now. There's a shoresh in Avram and in Yitzchak and Yaakov that there was something flawed there. They were very, very, very high, but it was not perfection itself. There was a flaw. And that flaw went into the next generation and it grew. It grew and grew and grew, and until they got Memtat Shari Tumah, the Jews were worshipping idols. The Jews were murderers in Mitzrayim. There were Jews working for Paro to inform another Jews. So it all comes from some. Listen, he also has another piece which also don't have time to go into now. That Yosef was, we call the tzaddik, but still, when you go through Jewish history, you go into Tanakh, the Ravim ben Nevot. Destroyed Am Yisrael, made a whole separate kingdom, comes to me, Yosef. And Yaakov himself says to Yosef, Mi Yelam, I'm going to give a blessing to Ephraim and Menashe. I see in the future, Yerov and Ben-Navot. I see an Achav coming out of these people. How can I give a blessing? So what's the pshat? So he says, that it's a long piece, that even though Yosef is called Tzaddik, but there was a Shoresh, there was a slight flaw, which Yosef himself may not have realized, this Shoresh was in Shevet Yosef and it developed over the centuries till it came into a Yerovim ben Nevot. It's a scary idea. It's scary. It's a frightening idea that a person can be a major tzaddik, major, but there's a slight flaw. It comes out later. Maybe not in him, but in his grandchildren, his great-grandchildren. Okay, I don't want to talk about it. It's not a happy discussion. So, so in any event, the Klal Yisrael had to get it through their own backs, through their own experience, be burnt into the national consciousness. Couldn't just be three great people. That's not going to... You know how many times you read in newspapers, this tzaddik, that tzaddik, he lived 300 years ago, 100 years ago. It doesn't relate to the masses. If there are a few people that get turned on by a story of a tzaddik. But what influences masses? Their own backs. Their own experience. The mass experience. So that's why Kadosh Baruch Hu had to take the individual lives of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov and their accomplishments and convert it into a mass experience in the backs of the Jews. Every Jew went through this experience. Every Jew was a ger. Understood what it means to be rooted. How important it is to have a place. Every Jew was an eved. Understood how important it is to be free. Every Jew suffered. is how important it is to help people who are suffering. The nefesh, ruach, and neshama of Am Yisrael was in the core basel of Mitzrayim. So that's why he says, so where are we up to here? There's so much in this piece. So he says, that's why later, but this is like a cycle which keeps on going again and again. Even though the Jews go out of Mitzrayim and get the Torah, then there's a regression, but they can't make a Teretz Yisrael, that generation. They regress. So the children go to Eretz Yisrael, and they have the nefesh of Am Yisrael. And then there's a regression. There's a Galus Bavel. What is Galus Bavel? Avodah Zarah. They go back to... They have to, again, learn the lesson of Avodah Zarah, the lesson of Avraham. Then you have Paras. Paras is Gilu Arayis. You have to learn the lesson of Yitzchok. And then Yavon is Shvichas Damim. You have to learn the lesson of Yaakov. It's a Galgal Achozer. It's a Dor Horech v'Dor Bo. There's a generation which has the lesson. And then the major problem, which I call this the fundamental problem of the Jewish nation, capital F, capital B. The fundamental problem is transition. How does a generation, which is a generation of tzaddikim, pass it on to the next generation? It's the fundamental problem. You can be great, but how do you give it to your children? You're only one person. You and your wife. You have 10 children. How does child number 8 get it from you? How does child number 10 get it from you? I met a guy, he came to me to get some money. So he's sitting in my office, so he tells me, B'lai Nora, he has 15 children. And he's very poor, and some are sick, and he says one child he has is a Down syndrome, Hashem Yirachem. He says, I have medical expenses. So I asked him, so which one from the 15 is the Down syndrome? So he goes, I don't remember, he's either number 6 or 8. I don't remember. He couldn't remember the 15 children, which number was the Down syndrome. Pile ploim. It means that he doesn't have any time to pass it on to his children. He was a big tzaddik this year, a big time chacham. But if he doesn't even remember the one who's sick, which number it is, then how much time is he spending with his children? He must be very tired with parnasa and sicknesses, whatever. He has no time. He doesn't even know the number. I hope he remembers their names. The thing is, it's a problem of transition. How is such a person going to pass to his children? How are you going to do it? This is the fundamental problem of Judaism. How does one generation pass it on to the next? So this was the problem which Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov had. And the solution was Galus Mitzrayim. Kadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham, in fact, the Medrash says Avram chose that. God, Avram was worried, but Me'eda, how will I know that's going to go on? So in the Medrash, God tells him, so tell me what you want. What I give you a few options. I can make different methods. So Avram chose Golus. It says in the Medrash, Avram, that's when Yosef goes to the brothers. Rashi writes, Me'etza amuka shel Yosef. Tzadik cover b'chevron was Avraham Avinu's plan that the Golus, in other words, the Jews will learn on their own backs. The parents may not be able to teach it to them. The kids will learn on their own. It will be very, very difficult to learn on your own because it's a core basel, but they'll learn it. And then it goes, it's a continuous cycle. One generation is a tzadik, the next generation is a rasha. There's a problem of transition. We grapple with it today. We thought, I don't know if we have the right solution. Everybody tries his own way, how to pass it on to the next generation. But it's a very, very, it's the fundamental problem. See, I don't assume that for any person himself to learn Torah or do mitzvahs is the fundamental problem. It's a problem, it's a challenge, but you can do it. The big problem is passing it on to the next generation. and on a mass level, not one kid, two kids, 15 kids. You know, that's the problem. That's the problem. That's the Chassidus says that it's in Shmuel Anavi, I think Chana says in Shevach to Kadosh Baruch Hu, V'alidach mimenu nidach, that no one is lost in front of God, because she was childless. God doesn't forget about anybody. So that's what the Chassidim say, is that we have to make sure that no one gets lost, no individual ever gets lost. You can't let him. V'alidach mimenu nidach, Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't let anybody get lost. We're not allowed to let. We can't say, well, I took care of myself. I took care of my Bechor. My oldest son is a tzaddik. What about the other 14? What about number 8? What about him? No, I took care of the Bechor. The first one and the last one, usually the two focuses. My firstborn and my baby. The ones in the middle should take care of themselves. Kadosh Baruch Hu takes care of the middle children too, not just the Bechor and the baby. All the kids in the middle. You know, like this. It was Eitzah Amuka Shalosa Tzadik HaKavah B'Chevron. But the thing is, it's a bit Yevet. It's a bit Yevet. The Lachatchila is that the parents, the generation, should be able to go to the next generation. If you have to send the ball back to the Bona Shalom, that he should do the Chinuch all over again, it's a Lopashut. Because he's a tough... He's tough, the Kaddish Baruch Hu. If he does it himself, he can be very tough. Like the Mitzrayim, it's a very tough. Or our Golus is a very hard Golus. It's a hard Golus. It's better if we do the job ourselves than send it back to him, you know. It's a Lokadai. I mean, you have to do it, but sometimes, but you have an Achrayis. We have an Achrayis, Botai. We have an Achrayis for the next generation. That's the main message of tonight's shiur. Shabbat shalom. Have a good Shabbos.
Amen.